Turn your Bibles to Psalm 119, verse 65 to 72. And if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able, the Hebrew letter Teth, Psalm 119, verses 65 through 72. Let's read together these eight verses, beginning in verse 65. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver. So we've been looking at the wonderful Word of God, and here we have a new set of verses to look at. And we've got to understand that God wants us to know His Word. It seemingly, if you read through Psalm 119, and maybe you have, getting a little bit ahead or preparing ahead of time, you may have noticed he makes some of these statements a few times in slightly different ways, but it's for our benefit. It's for our instruction. I often tell my teachers people learning to teach, that repetition is the key to learning. Okay, repetition, over and over and over and over again. And listen, sometimes just getting into the monotony of rote learning, just saying something, repeating something. You, as a teacher, you what do you try to do? You try to spice it up a little bit. Add a little niche here, add something little here so that it grabs the attention of the person reciting things. Okay, because you don't want it just to be a robotic memory. You want it to be something that lasts, something that sticks with you for the rest of your life. So God gives us the wonderful Word of God. Here we are in the Hebrew letter Teth, verses 65 to 72. Now we have heard some of these things somewhat before, but I like what he says here in this verse. Thou, speaking of God, hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. So we have the feeling here and this sense that God, according to his word, has set a precedent of dealing well with his servants. Should we expect something different from God? You know, I think today the way that Christians act, They're expecting something different from God. I don't understand that. God is God, right? Didn't he say, I am the Lord, I change not? Right. Yeah, he is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever, right? I mean, why would you expect anything different from God Almighty than him dealing well with his servants? And even if the servants are wrong or against God, he still is merciful and long-suffering. We talked about that this morning. He still is compassionate. Listen, if he judged us according to our sins, which I'm glad the Psalms says that he does not do that, none of us would be here right now. I'll tell you that. None of us would be here right now. You know what? Even in his wrath, even in his anger, even in his chastening, he's good to us. Boy, I tell you what, David said that thou hast dealt well with thy servant. For this verse, I want to call this divine dealings. You know, God deals with his people different than people deal with people. It's divine. It's supernatural. It's God's way. We talked about the ways of a father, and yes, there are commands, and yes, there's correction, and yes, there is compassion. But God knows all. He knows what buttons to push in your life. He does. He knows what you can handle. Oh, by the way, there's a verse in there, right? In Scripture that tells us that He's not going to give us above that which we're able to bear. You know, you say, well, this is just too much in my life. Oh, God knows. God knows. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word. You know what God is governed by? The wonderful word of God. Yeah. He's not going to go against it, folks. He's going to stay true to His word because God that cannot lie, He can't. He is going to keep His promises. He is going to do the things that He says He's going to do. He is going to be the way He says He's going to be according to His word. And what a profound statement that the psalmist makes. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word. Hey, can I tell you something? That's what makes this book the wonderful word of God. It's wonderful. Because God's going to deal with us divinely according to this book. It's special. It's miraculous. It's amazing that He'll deal with us this way. In Psalm chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, the Bible says, But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because He hath dealt bountifully with me. Hey, just salvation alone. Is God dealing with mankind divinely? He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to save us. He didn't have to provide salvation for us. He could have just crumpled up man and threw him in the trash can and started over again. He didn't have to. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Hey, I'm telling you, we've got to understand that God deals divinely with us in conduct, in relation to others, as dealing with a father, as his children, or as God deals with man. The dealings of God in the affairs of man. In Psalm 116, verses 5 through 8, the Bible says, Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and He helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. Aren't you glad that God deals with us such? I mean, David said, Oh, thou hast dealt well with thy servant. Hey, listen, That man, Horatio Spafford, this has popped in my head. This is all free tonight, okay? Listen, as he's crossing that ocean to the place where his four daughters died. You know the story, right? You don't know the story. Oh, some of you do. Okay, this man named Horatio Spafford was a businessman in Chicago. And back a long time ago when they had to take ships across the ocean. And they were supposed to go on a vacation over in England, and he had a last-minute business dealing, and so he sent his wife and his four daughters ahead on a ship. Well, there was a problem. The ship sank, and the wife wrote back a telegram saying, saved alone. As he got on another boat to go across to be with his wife, the captain informed him when they got to that spot. Mr. Spafford was a saved man. And the flood of words came to his mind, and he penned the song, It Is Well With My Soul, at that very spot in the ocean where his daughters perished. You know, I'm telling you something. It's salvation. It's our relationship with God that can tell us that God has dealt well with us, His servants. How many of you that song sends chills down my spine. When peace like a river attendeth my way. Right? It is well. It is well with my soul. Now that you know the story, that song should mean even more to you. The grief that he must have felt. And all that he felt there at that spot where his four little girls passed away. Drowned in the sea. But you know what? God has dealt well with His servants. Even in sorrows, He's dealt well with us. In Psalm 142, verses 4 through 7, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto Thee, O Lord, and I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise Thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for Thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Folks, even in our time of sorrows, even our times of distresses, even when we're troubled in our spirit, God deals well with His servants. Yeah, He does. I think David kind of knew about this, didn't he? Did David have troubled times in his life? Oh, yes. How could he justly say that God had dealt well with His servant according to His word? Because He did. Because He did. Even in all the troubled times, God deals well with us. In Luke chapter 19, it says, He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came and saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. God's going to deal justly with us, folks. And that might be a little bit to our detriment, because we may not be putting all we can into what He's entrusted us with. Oh, don't you know that to whom much is given, much is required? Oh, yes. Yes, we need to make sure that we understand that God will deal well with us. In Matthew 24, remember this? Verses 42 to 46. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. You need to be ready, folks. We don't know when he's going to come back. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially them who are of the household of faith. You know, we need to realize that God deals well with His servants. And we need to realize that He's going to be coming back soon. And the things that He expects of us are not unknown. They're not unexpected. We know exactly what God wants from us. Why? Because it's according to His word. He's going to deal with us according to His word. One of the things that I enjoyed being principal of a Christian school is I never had to be the bad guy. You say, a principal? I mean, kids didn't get in trouble. Oh, they got in trouble. But you know what the bad guy was? It wasn't me. It was the book. The book was the bad guy. Because I would say to the student, you know what? I understand your circumstance. I know you were under a lot of pressure until you lied to your teacher. You know, I forgive you, but the book says I have to do this to you. The book's the bad guy. I wasn't the bad guy anymore. Oh, Brother Combs, you're so understanding. Okay, I understand. Okay, the book says, all right, you got to give me my punishment. It was great. It was great. I didn't have to be the bad guy because the book was the bad. Hey, folks, God's just dealing with us according to his word. And he's going to keep his word. And he's going to do it to us according to his word, both good and maybe not so good for us. But it is all to his purpose. In 1 Peter, the Bible says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer, according to the will of God, commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. Isn't he faithful? Isn't he true? Is he not going to deal well with us according to his word? Go back to Psalm 119. Look at verse 66. Psalm 119, verse 66. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. You know, we talked about first God's divine dealings. What about God, the divine teacher? Divine teacher. Hey, we've already discussed knowledge. We've already discussed wisdom. We've already discussed judgments, what the judgments are. The psalmist here asks God to teach him good judgment and knowledge. For I have believed thy commandments. You know what? God is a great teacher. He is. Who would like to be taught by someone else other than God? No? I don't think so. I'll take God's teachings any day. Oh, by the way, where can we find those? Oh, yeah, the wonderful Word of God. They're right here, recorded in Scripture for us. Let me just give you a few that I think you'll appreciate. Look at John chapter 3 if you want to. John chapter 3 in your Bibles. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 10. You know, when Jesus came, he was known by the Pharisees and by the Sadducees as a what? Yeah, rabbi, which is a teacher. Oh, John chapter 3. What account is this? Oh, Mr. Nicodemus. Yes, yes. Oh, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. Why? For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Okay, so Jesus Christ, our Savior, teacher, rabbi, master, he was a teacher. Did God, in the form of Jesus, if you will, teach us good things? Yes. Didn't the psalmist ask to be taught good judgment and knowledge? For I have believed thy commandments. This thing with Nicodemus goes on. I love this story. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee. Oh, teaching lesson. Verily, verily, I say unto thee. Now get your learning ears on, students. The teacher is teaching. He says this. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus is a good student. Do y'all know that? You say, why? Because he had a question. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Teacher, I don't quite understand this lesson. I don't quite understand this lesson. Could you explain this to me? How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Okay, Nicodemus obviously had taken 10th grade biology class. All right, he knew what he was talking about. All right, he said, can this process take place again? Master, teacher, rabbi, I don't understand what you're saying. Born again. What is this born? What is this concept, born again, that you're trying to explain to me? Nicodemus being a good student, and Jesus is being a great teacher. Well, he says this. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee. All right, Nicodemus, get your listening ears on again. Except a man be born of water. Okay, Nicodemus, I'm answering your question. You got to be birthed into this world. Born of water and of the Spirit. Aha. Now we're getting into the concept. What does it mean? Not born of water twice. Not born of the flesh twice. But born of the flesh and born of the Spirit. Oh. No, the teacher, the master teacher is giving a lesson. He's showing Nicodemus exactly what's needed for salvation. And you know what? We understand that when Joseph of Arimathea took care of the body of Jesus, who was there along with him? Oh, Nicodemus. Why was he there with Joseph? Because he was a believer, folks. Hey, he understood the lesson. He got the concept. And he was born again. You know what? Jesus helped him. He said, I love how he said at the end of the conversation, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Yeah. He said, You're supposed to be a teacher, Nicodemus, and you don't know this stuff? Yeah, he kind of put it to him there. That may have been the turning point for Nicodemus. But you know what? We know that Nicodemus turned. We know that he was born again. As evidenced in Scripture, he got the lesson from the master teacher. Turn your Bibles to Timothy chapter 1. If you'd like, if not, I'll just read. Verses 11 through 14. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher, and an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. Hey, you know what? Over in 2 Timothy, the Bible tells us that we as pastors are supposed to be apt to teach. Yeah, we're supposed to be apt to teach. God wants us to be teachers. Paul said, hey, I'm a preacher. I'm an apostle. I'm a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me. In faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. You know what? God is a divine teacher. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is a divine teacher. Oh, go to John 14. John 14. We know God, the Heavenly Father, is a teacher. We know God the Son, Jesus Christ, is a teacher. Over in John 14, look at verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall what? Oh. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Wow. God the Father, teacher. God the Son, teacher. God the Holy Spirit, teacher. Hey folks, if you don't learn nothing, yeah, I could just, I'm learning Texas speech. Y'all's dumb. You got the three best teachers a person could ask for. Oh, we need to learn. We need to learn. We have the Word of God, the greatest textbook known to man. We have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, divine teaching. The psalmist says, teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Folks, we need to learn. We need to be taught by God. You know, Jesus, in his earthly ministry, in Mark 6:34, it says, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Oh, he wants to teach us. You know, when I over the last 16 years, I was at that church and at that place because I knew that's what God's will for my life was. And I wanted to teach those kids. I wanted those kids to learn. I wanted them to grow. I wanted them to find God's will for their life. You know what? That passion of me wanting them to learn has now been transferred to y'all. Yeah. It has. Because I want you to learn. I want you to grow. I want you to become what God wants you to be. I want you to do what God wants you to do. Jesus looked at them and had compassion on them. And he didn't just change their lives by some supernatural miracle. How did he do it? How did he show forth his compassion and his love for them? By teaching them. He taught them many things. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Hey, we've got God the Father, we've got God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, we got pastors, and we got evangelists, and we got people in the ministry, teaching, and then we're supposed to pass that on to faithful men who shall teach others also. You think God is invested in this thing of teaching? Oh, yes, he is. You think he's invested in you learning? Oh, yes, he is. David said, teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believed thy commandments. Well, go back to Psalm 119. You all will be extremely delighted. This afternoon, I went back over to the gym, got up high to that ledge where I left my watch. There it is. Yay! Preacher got a little long-winded this morning. Look at verse 67. Before I was afflicted. Okay, so David says, before I was afflicted. Okay, so affliction did come in his life, but he said before. So at a point of non-affliction, a point of peace in his life, or a point of freeness in his life, he said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Huh. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. That means that after I went astray, I was afflicted. Y'all follow the logic there, right? Yeah. Would the affliction have come if he was not or had not gone astray? Probably not. Who knows? But it's a good bet, right? I don't bet. Not a good thing to do. But he says, but now have I kept thy word. Boy, this is an interesting course of words. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. You know what affliction is? It's the cause of continued pain of body or mind as sickness, losses, calamity, adversity, or persecution. That's affliction. You know what? In Leviticus chapter 26, if you want to turn your Bibles there, you certainly may. I'm going to read, not quite 20 verses, but almost. Because I want you to see something that God said would take place, and we know it did, many times over the course of Israel's history. Leviticus 26, beginning in verse 21. And if ye walk contrary unto me. Let's pause there. Would that be going astray? Yeah. And if you walk contrary unto me, and will not hearken unto me. Is that going astray? Yes. Okay. Just so we're all clear there. I will bring 7 times more plagues upon you according to your sins. What's he talking about? The 10 plagues of Egypt? 70 plagues? Whoa! Is that affliction? Yeah, that's affliction. That's a whole boatload of affliction right there. Okay, that's affliction. I will also... Oh, there's more. What? This is some heavy affliction. Hey, Israel, if you go astray, I'm sending 70 plagues your way. Oh, by the way, wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children. What? Huh? Some lion? Some bear? Some wolf? Some coyote? Some rabid raccoon? I don't know. Whatever. They'll come take your kid away from you. Yeah, I say weird things sometimes. That's okay. Just seeing if you're paying attention. Yeah. Wild beasts. And destroy your cattle. And make you few in number, and your highways shall be desolate. And if ye will not be reformed, okay, David said, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. So David reformed, right? He went astray, he was afflicted, he reformed. Okay, now, he says, if ye will not be reformed by me by these things, but will walk contrary, that's staying astray, unto me, then will I also walk contrary to you. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Hey, believer, it's one thing for you to walk contrary to God. But when God is contrary to you, watch out. No, you do not want that. Hey, 70 plagues, bad enough. Wild beasts stealing your children, bad enough. But when God is walking contrary to you, oh boy. No. You do not want that. Go read Israel's history. They did that, and so did God. And it wasn't pretty. It was bad. Bad. So then I will also walk contrary to you and will punish you yet 7 times for your sins, and will bring a sword upon you that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. And when ye are gathered together within your cities, I will send pestilence among you, and ye shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. And when I have broken the staff of your bread, 10 women shall break bread, your bread in one oven, and they shall deliver you your bread again by weight, and ye shall eat and not be satisfied. And if ye will not, for all this, hearken unto me, These people are really dumb. Uh-huh. But walk contrary unto me, then I will walk contrary to you also in fury. Oh, my soul. How many of you have read this passage of Scripture before? It's deep. It's rough. But doesn't God say this walk going astray breeds affliction? But for the purpose of repentance, of coming back to the Father. Did he want to do this to Israel? No, these were his people. He kept saying, and if. And he wanted them not to go astray in the first place. But he said, if you do, I'm going to do this to you. And if you will turn back, then we'll be okay. But if you don't, then I'm going to do more. And if you don't, I'm going to do more. If you don't, I'm going to do more. All of this. I'll skip down there a little bit. Bring your land into desolation, scatter you among the heathen, all this stuff, make your cities waste, all of this. Then it says, look there, look down a few more verses in the 30s there. And they that are left of you shall pine away in their iniquity in your enemies' lands. And also the iniquities of their fathers shall they pine away with them. If they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their trespass, which they have trespassed against me, and that also they have walked contrary unto me, and that I also have walked contrary unto them, and have brought them into the land of their enemies, if then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and they then accept of the punishment of their iniquity, then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham, will I remember, and I will remember the land. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I forgive their sin. Then will I heal their land. Hey, folks, I'm afraid America is at a place, at a juncture, where they're continuing to walk contrary to God. That's not a good thing. Not a good thing. We need to be careful. Hey, this is how the process works. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. Hey, go to James chapter 4. We'll finish up here. Two more passages of scripture for you. James chapter 4. While you're turning to James chapter 4, let me read another one to you. In Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Why does God rescue us from going astray and getting sending affliction into our lives to turn us back to the Father so that many will see it and fear and trust in the Lord? You there in James chapter 4? Look at verses 8 through 10. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Hey, when we go astray, folks, we need to understand that affliction is going to come. Not to punish us, per se, but rather to turn us back to the Father. Yeah. Be afflicted. Did David say anything here in Psalm 119? About how he hated the affliction. About how he loathed the affliction. How the affliction was bad in his life. Did he? No. No, he said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now, I have kept thy word. One last spot, 1 John chapter 1, you know the verses. 1 John chapter 1. You know what God wants from us? He knows we're going to go astray. We're all going to be there sometime. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But when we do go astray, and if we do go astray, affliction will come. But God doesn't want us to be destroyed. He doesn't want us to continue in our sin, to continue to be afflicted, worse and worse and worse, but rather repent and come back to the Father. Look, are you there? Look at verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Isn't that what affliction is for? When we go astray, when we're not in the truth of God, when we're not doing what we're supposed to do, affliction comes to bring us back to the Father. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Well, here in Psalm 119, we see divine dealings. We see divine teachings. And we see divine affliction. You know what? God wants to work with us, folks. He's going to deal well with us. Even in times when we go astray. You see how wonderfully these verses go together? David knew what he was writing. He had experienced it in his life. And according to God's word, He's going to deal with you. He's going to deal with you. He's going to teach you. And He's going to afflict you. Because He loves you. Because He wants to be with you. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to have fellowship with you. He wants you to learn. He wants you to grow. He wants you to be all the Christian that you can be. He wants you to be a great servant in His kingdom. He wants you to be like that one that was given £1 and earned 10, and now he was ruler over 10 cities. He wants that for you because He loves us. And because this is the wonderful Word of God.